Chapter 4, Aspiring to Clinical Excellence, read by chapter author and working group lead, Matthew Wyatt. Working group contributors, Jenna Bardsley, Joe Baxter, Neil Langridge, Lewis Ludgrove, Neil Marshall, Andrew McMillan, Liz Probenich, and L. Titney. Clinical excellence is our aspiration in MSK practice, but it is difficult to define, and in doing so, we risk limiting the creative edge of our profession, or promoting an expertise model lacking evidence-informed validity. However, we believe that a definition of excellence is worth pursuing to minimise variation in practice, which creates confusion for clinicians and, more importantly, for patients. Reforming clinical excellence has been a popular table discussion at MSKR events, a popular theme for online debate, and the most popular manifesto working group with many more applications and spaces. However, for the reasons outlined above, it's perhaps the most challenging topic to channel into this format. In MSK practice, both evidence and experience lead us to hold subjective assessment findings in high regard. In much the same way, the opinions of the large volume of clinicians, thinkers, and patients that have shared their subjective takes on what constitutes clinical excellence should be valued and respected. If something is important enough, it should be included, regardless of whether it suits the format of this manifesto has assumed. A reduction in all types of unwanted variation will increase value for individual patients and for populations, ensuring that the right people are given the right care, the right place, at the right time, said Matthew Crippins, Director of Right Care in NHS England. Similar concerns to those mentioned above regarding best practice and clinical excellence are often voiced in discussions surrounding the popular term unwanted variation. This term has been thoroughly discussed at MSKR events to date, as well as across a variety of healthcare settings. Despite best efforts of many, conversations consistently break down when attempts are made to qualify or quantify the term unwarranted. In MSK practice, several diagnostic frameworks, treatment modalities, and reasoning heuristics have become wedded to their people's identities and sense of self. This fear, therefore, that their theta algorithm, modality, or model of care may be phased out of practice is very strong. MSKR stand by the idea of criticizing ideas, but not people. Safeguards are required to avoid losing the individualization of patient care in the generalization of guidelines, but similarly, safeguards are required to avoid losing evidence-based facts in the individualization of patient care, said Jack Chu, MSKR director. In this chapter, we endeavor to acknowledge and account for this array of valid concerns and sensitivities, whilst proposing values and policies that we feel will help the MSK industry and all those working within it to aspire to clinical excellence. Our choice of term for consensus-based quality. Perhaps the most well-known use of the term clinical excellence is part of the original title for the UK Specialist Health Authority, NICE, the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. NICE produced condition-specific guidelines through a rigorous process of evidence reviews by multidisciplinary experts. As mentioned in Chapter 1 of this manifesto, relatively few MSK conditions have NICE guidelines recommendations, yet even if they did, few would argue that clinical excellence in MSK practice is best demonstrated by to-the-letter adherence to guidelines. Certain characteristics, skills, attitudes, habits, and values appear consistently in the conversations around clinical excellence, and their anatomies appear frequently in conversations around poor practice. Whilst MSKR do not profess to have refined a methodology that fully resolves the aforementioned issues, we do not feel comfortable with the current absence of any statement of values to aspire to. MSKR are willing to state our take on the core values recognising clinically excellent practitioners, how these values are supported by the policies in adjacent chapters of this manifesto, further specific policies which we feel will optimise the chances of achieving clinical excellence across MSK practice. Defining excellence. Part one of our chapter details the 10 attributes that we feel are most recognizable in excellent MSK clinicians. These attributes are promoted and reinforced by the policies detailed in previous chapters of the manifesto, and so are internally referenced. We feel that these policies will hold clinicians accountable to these attributes, thus promoting excellence. Policy one, aspiring to clinical excellence. MSKR propose that excellence is delivered by clinicians who value patient-centered care. Excellent clinicians recognize that patient needs, patient goals, patient outcomes should be central to care. They afford patients uninterrupted time to articulate their story and work with them to identify meaningful and personalized goals. Complexity is inherent to pain because complexity is inherent to people. Excellent clinicians embrace this complexity and seek to ensure that all aspects of care in the patient's best interests and that options are thoroughly clarified and decisions sufficiently reasoned. MSKR policies to assist patient-centered care, outcome measure use, evidence policy 9, and guidelines, evidence policy 6. A holistic biopsychosocial model. Excellent clinicians recognize and account for holistic factors affecting a patient's symptoms. A biomedical model of care that is concerned exclusively with pathology or structure or system is inadequate for a contemporary understanding of MSK practice. Adaptation of the biopsychosocial patient care model that acknowledges a wider variety of specific and non-specific contributing factors to symptomology is a necessary step forward in order for MSK practice to remain cohesive within the evidence base. We add the word holistic to this term as a reminder that excellent clinicians do not reduce a patient's experience to biological, psychological, or psychosocial factors. Only a holistic, all-encompassing model that recognizes and values all possible contributing variables is in line with our take on clinical excellence. MSKR policies promote a holistic biopsychosocial model, inclusion in best practice guidelines, evidence policy 6, protected learning time, evidence policy 2. Communication skills. Excellent clinicians seek to hone their communication skills in order to better articulate their thoughts to patients, colleagues, and beyond. Whilst excellent clinicians over the decades have sought to optimize their communication skills to optimize outcomes, we argue that contemporary MSK practice involves a level of patient engagement far beyond that of past healthcare generations. When we perceive that the tissue integrity was strongly correlated to patient symptoms and that the success of our manual techniques was related to our ability to positively influence scar tissue, how well we were communicating this to patients seemed to matter less. Now, an honest answer to the infamous "why does it hurt" question is often so counterintuitive to the patient that the conversation becomes a negotiation. Excellent clinicians are collaborative and persuasive. They exude credibility, not by dictating a plan, but by identifying common ground and communicating a coherent, scientifically robust route to the goal setting by patients. MSKR policies to assist with communication skills, skills for training educators, education policy 1, communication abilities monitored in appraisals, governance policy 8. Empowerment. Excellent clinicians trust patients to make informed decisions once the patient is fully equipped to make choices about their care. As MSK patients are themselves best placed to understand how the symptoms are impacting their lives and how they can influence that. A likely common goal for them is to be able to self-manage their condition. Excellent clinicians identify when it is appropriate to lead and when to stand shoulder to shoulder with patients and to be led at different stages of their recovery journey. This integration model of patient empowerment is central to a quality therapeutic alliance, as it demonstrates respect and trust between the clinician and patient. MSKR policies to promote patient empowerment, consistent use of outcome measures, evidence policy 9, universal appraisal, governance policy 8, clinical reasoning. Excellent clinicians value clinical reasoning over algorithmic decision-making. they recognise the need to hold diagnosis under review over the course of treatment so that further information can influence care in real time. Differential diagnosis would frequently be considered, as would all factors that could be making the symptoms and or the prognosis atypical. Excellent clinicians reason between the treatment method by considering the desired mechanisms of effect, the supporting evidence, the compatibility with the patient's needs, and other complex variables. Quality clinical reasoning is embodied and encompassed in all the aforementioned attributes of clinical excellence. MSKR policies to promote clinical reasoning, preceptorship training, which aims to build skills post-qualification, evidence policy 5. Access to journals and guidance throughout the career, evidence policy 2. Protected learning time, evidence policy 2. Access to journals and guidance throughout the career, evidence policy 12. Oxford evidence-based practice scale within appraisals, evidence policy 1. Excellence program, education policy 6. Evidence-informed care. Excellent clinicians value scientific inquiry and stay up to date with MSK evidence base. They endeavour to use reliable and validated examination techniques and as well as treatment methods that are demonstrated to help patients reach their goals in clinical research. In the likely absence of definitive research that suggests an indicated care plan for an individual patient, an excellent clinician delivers patient-centred care that is informed by evidence. Evidence-informed clinicians do not rely on specific guidance and compliance with diagnostic criteria, but deliver care that is plausible in terms of scientifically known within MSK and overlapping fields of study. MSKR policies to assist evidence-informed care. Improved journal access, evidence policy 12. Best practice guidelines, evidence policy 6. Additional NICE guidelines, evidence policy 8, and protected time, evidence policy 2. Lifelong learning. Excellent clinicians consolidate their knowledge, but do not assume they know most of what is to be known in MSK practice. The confidence that a mathematician or physicist may have about base reality and the coherence of rules would be blind arrogance in the still developing and changing landscape of MSK practice. MSKR policies to assist lifelong learning, annual appraisals throughout the career, governance policy 8, access to journals, evidence policy 12, protecting learning time, evidence policy 2, formal preceptorship program, education policy 6, universal postgraduate opportunities, education policy 7. Reflective practice. Excellent clinicians recognise the need to pause and reflect on the care they deliver, their development and the balance of the broader skill set. Reflective practice assists self-awareness, which in turn often enhances the approachability and humility of the clinician. MSKR policies to assist reflective practice. Submitted reflections to annual appraisals, governance policy 8. Protected learning time, evidence policy 2. Online learning skills to clinical educators, education policy 1. Critical thinking. Excellent clinicians recognise the variety of options available to them and their patients at any given moment. Therefore, the ability to think critically, rationally, objectively, and where necessary, sceptically about a topic or decision is a valuable asset. MSKR policies to assist critical thinking. Access to journals, evidence policy 12. Best practice guidance availability, evidence policy 6. Preceptorship program, education policy 5. Shared decision making. Excellent clinicians understand that their broad professional expertise is different to the narrow perspective expertise of each individual patient. The lived experience of each patient is relevant to their presentation and their journey to recovery. Therefore, understanding at its best paramount to the lived experience of each patient is relevant to their presentation and journey to recovery. Therefore, understanding it as best possible is paramount. Excellent clinicians respect the patient's expertise and allow decision-making process to be an equal partner towards working towards set goals. MSKR policies to enhance shared decision-making, outcome measure use in all MSK patients, evidence policy 9. As discussed in the introduction to this chapter, it is deemed by some to be a controversial to even point out the attributes of an excellent clinician. However, if we simply examine the direct opposite of our top 10 attributes, they go a long way towards describing the characteristics we might recognize in a poor MSK clinician, without merely stating the more obvious objectives such as unsafe, incompetent, and unprofessional. Achieving excellence. We hope that our attempt to define clinical excellence move the conversation forward in an area that is too often stalled due to conflict over small differences. Even this non-exhaustive set of attributes was to be fully embraced and promoted, we feel that further reforms would still be required to achieve clinical excellence. MSKR feel that the enacting of the following four key policies would lead to a higher consistency of excellence care and would support the reforms outlined in the preceding chapters. Policy 2. MSKR proposes a central digital library of best practice guidance for common MSK presentations that are efficiently peer-reviewed for quality, clarity, and brevity. As acknowledged in the first chapter of this manifesto, best practice guidance is pragmatic synthesis of the available evidence applied to real-world clinical contexts. Every day, patients present to MSK clinicians with some version of the question, what is the best way to get this/me better? Understandably, few would accept the answer, we don't know yet. The science is very young. But for most MSK conditions, especially though in terms of dose response, patient profile, timing, this would be the honest one. If we accept clinical excellence can and does exist, and that is delivered by clinicians whose attributes match the list detailed previously, the best practice guidance created by the collaborations between clinicians we consider excellent would be of value. The strongest argument that we have encountered against such guidance is based on the fear that this becomes recipe-like, non-critical, and risks being under-reviewed. Some feel while we risk replacing old dogma with new dogma, that will be equally difficult to replace. We recognise this risk, but argue if this was the case, the contributing clinicians would not meet the above criteria and would not therefore be excellent by MSKR's definition, namely failing to demonstrate critical thinking, evidence-informed care, shared decision-making, and prioritising clinical reasoning over recipes. MSKR feel that the enacting of this policy would promote clinical excellence by improving public and professional access to high-quality, evidence-informed guidance. Policy 3. MSKR propose a promotional campaign to highlight the unifying nature of functional rehabilitation as a core component of healthcare. In many of the discussions about MSK clinical excellence throughout this project, we've consistently noticed the commonalities between contemporary best practice across therapy disciplines. MSKR contributors working in neurology, elderly medicine, respiratory, women's health, and pediatric care have frequently mentioned the similarities between the core treatments between these disciplines. Individualized functional rehabilitation that is context sensitive, progressively scaled, and goal focused is emerging as a central tenet of therapeutic care and should be championed as such. The aforementioned subspecialities have appeared increasingly distinct over the many years for a variety of reasons, including postgraduate specialization courses and specialist interest group formation. In addition to this, MSKR have also reflected on the fact that the following therapy disciplines traditionally seen across physiotherapy, osteopathy, sports rehabilitation, and chiropractic are often strongly associated with specialized treatment modalities. For example, respiratory, airway clearance, active cycle of breathing techniques, and suction, neurology, tone management, bone bath concept handling, women's health, internal soft tissue techniques, and pelvic floor retraining, musculoskeletal, manual therapy, electrotherapy, and corrective exercise. Whilst all of the above may be prevalent in each discipline, and each could be considered to be evidence-supported in certain circumstances, researchers revealed various limitations in terms of the specific and corrective influences we have on patients with these techniques. With this in mind, many therapists across disciplines have embraced human complexity and made the primary rationale for treatment to scale an individual's function from where they are at this given moment in their life to where they wish to be post-treatment. Quality rehabilitation accounts for the commonalities of basic human needs, such as breathing, eating, sleeping, reproducing, washing, moving, working, combined with the diversity of each individual's requirements and goals. MSKR plan to work with partner organisations across the professions and disciplines to promote graded functional rehabilitation as a vital feature of health and social care. Policy 4. MSKR propose a review of the term chartership as used in physiotherapy and of the criteria required to qualify for chartership. Chartered status originates from the Royal Charter issued to professional bodies by the monarch on the advice of the Privy Council. Over a thousand professional organisations have been granted charter status since its inception in 1230. However, fewer than 80 charters allow for individuals who meet certain standards to use the prefix chartered ahead of their professional identity as a self-descriptor. For example, the Royal College of Chiropractors received the Royal Charter in 2012, yet there is no such title as a chartered chiropractor. In 1920, King George V granted the Royal Charter to the Chartered Society of Massage and Medical Gymnastics, the organisation known since 1944 as the Chartered Society of Physiotherapy, the CSP. The CSP also have an individual chartership designation, granting it the ability to award charter status to individual members. In the UK, the prefix chartered is considered a mark of professional competence awarded to an individual as a relevant distinction to its non-chartered form. The two most commonly encountered examples in Britain are chartered accountants and chartered surveyors. Chartership in these disciplines requires an undergraduate degree, 3 years in trade experience, a submitted report of professional competence, a pass grade to chartership examinations, a unanimous decision by a panel of peers to grant chartership, routine validation by monitored appraisal of CPD activity, payment and membership organisational fees. Use of the term chartered physiotherapist requires an undergraduate degree, payment and membership by organisation fees. This inconsistency in requirements seems to be a legacy problem that other chartered institutions have sought to correct for. For example, the Institute of Physics, 2001, and the Royal Science Council, 2004, recognised in the early 2000s that a higher minimum standard must be set for the use of the charter prefix in a field. The organisation has decided that master's level study, 3 years postgraduate experience, and routine revalidation through proof of CPD would form the new entry level criteria. Individuals who did not meet these standards at the point of revalidation could not use the prefix. The Privy Council granted amendments to the entry level for use of the title Chartered Physicist in 2001 and the use of the title Chartered Clinical Scientist in 2004. Interestingly, the Privy Council itself recognises the set entry level for chartership to be consistent so not to devalue the prefix. The Privy Council office kindly provided the following quote. Privy Council policy is that the criteria for individual chartered status should be broadly similar across the professions, e.g. chartered accountant, chartered engineer, chartered surveyor, etc. Charters and chartered titles have traditionally been linked to academic qualifications, and most modern chartered bodies that intend to individual charter status as a robust professional qualification set the entry level at master's degree level or equivalent skills and experience, and reevaluate holders on a regular basis to ensure continued professional competency and development, with only practicing professionals allowed to hold the designation, the Privy Council Office. MSKR propose a review of the term chartered, primarily due to concern that its use may be misleading the public. In fact, some of the strongest voices in favour of this policy from the MSKR's patient contributors. Patients do not know what chartered in relation to physiotherapy means, but chartered, as it used generally, implies a credible distinction. To learn that a title you can essentially buy completely undermines the credibility of the whole profession. Chartership surely needs to mean something or not exist. As it stands, it is not an accurate description of the professional status. It's an embarrassment to the profession that's misleading to the patients it's meant to reassure. Sam Williams, patient contributor. We recognise the challenges that a movement to change the terms of the Royal Charter might face, not least the collaboration required to engage our non-MSK physiotherapy colleagues who would also be affected. This is why MSKR calls for a thorough review, which involves and includes all relevant organisations that are interested in raising quality standards to achieve clinical excellence. Policy 5. MSKR advocates that all MSK job roles to be accessible by professionals who can demonstrate they meet the criteria outlined by the role, regardless of profession. As our organisational name suggests, and this manifesto has outlined, MSKR feel that the MSK industry at large and the constituent MSK professions must do more to improve quality consistency of care delivered to the public. We do, however, recognise professional organisations representing MSK clinicians care deeply about patients and we all seek to help. But the shortcomings We do, however, recognise that the professional organisations representing MSK clinicians care deeply about the patients we all seek to help. But the shortcomings do occur despite the best efforts. We have found no evidence that clinical excellence is consistently recognisable in any qualification, subspecialty or professional identity. We've instead noted that individuals from all professional backgrounds have the capacity to be clinically excellent. Sadly, also their capacity to emulate poor practice. No professional organisation has demonstrated a quality assurance standard that has helped its members stand out consistently from their MSK peers of different stripes, nor has any specific qualification type stood out as worthy of promoting in this document. Instead, we propose that in light of the increasing societal burden of MSK conditions, it is in the public best interest that MSK job roles to be accessible by professionals who can demonstrate they meet the criteria outlined by the job specification, regardless of profession. Considering the increasing evidence of comorbidity and other contributory health factors affecting MSK care, a minimum qualification standard, a minimum regulatory standard is important to ensure clinical safety. MSKR propose a Bachelor of Science, BSc, undergraduate degree, or an accepted international equivalent combined with accreditation through the Professional Standards Authority would be a sensible minimum standard. Beyond this, the specifics of the vacant MSK role should be detailed through each personal specification with a view to the candidate being recruited based on individual competence. We feel that this policy will raise standards and promote clinical excellence by disrupting the complacency that can appear in the absence of competition. It is in all of our best interest for the very best person for the job to be in the post through as efficient means as possible. The best person for the job may well be somebody from a profession not immediately associated to that post. For example, the best person for a Band 5 junior MSK primary care physiotherapist might be a sports rehabilitator. The best person for a Band 7 MSK lower limb extended scope podiatrist role may well be a physiotherapist. The best person for Band 8 MSK first contact practitioner may be an osteopath. We are certainly not the first organisation to advocate for competency-based recruitment, and we recognise that some organisations are ahead of the curve on this policy. However, it remains a common practice for an MSK job adverts to explicitly state a profession when others could realistically be considered. MSKR recognise the embryonic nature of some of the policies in this manifesto, but this is not one of them. Forward-thinking service providers and their local public are already reaping the rewards of this change. If we lose dated assumptions and ask the correct questions of the existing recruitment structures, we can raise standards by simply redacting a job title on job adverts. Putting a professional's interest over public interest is the equivalent of putting party of the country or country of the humanity. Interprofessional tribalism in MSK is needless and counterproductive. So let's instead build a multidisciplinary coalition around shared values and reform MSK practice for the better. Jack Chu, MSKR Director. This chapter lays out the criteria which we believe are indicative of excellent practice and suggests mechanisms by which this can be established and sustained for the benefit of our patients and our professional pride and integrity. Excellent. Safeguards are required to avoid losing the individualization of patient care in the generalization of guidelines, but similarly, safeguards are required to avoid losing evidence-based facts in the individualization of patient care. Jack Chu, MSKR Director.